So the next session is, I don't know, really near and dear to me from a whole bunch of different perspectives. We have Mr. Andrew Robert. I'll let him, in a few moments, discuss who he is. This is more of a fireside chat type conversation. But he's here on behalf of the Alabama AI Center of Excellence. And it's been an interesting journey for the last 2.5 years with this organization. I've kind of had a front row, up close and personal seat. Gotten to know Andrew over that period of time. We developed a really strong friendship and mutual respect for one another. But we're just going to kick it off. I have a few questions for him. As you will find out, he is never short of answers. Okay? And I don't mean that tongue-in-cheek. No, let's just start there. Andrew, introduce yourself. Give folks a brief snippet of what you were doing in life prior to what most people know, August and ASIL. Share with folks who you are in some of your background.
Well, thank you, Boyd, and thank you for having me. First thing I need to do is make sure that I'm within arm's length. In other words, if he uses his hands and I use my hands, someone's going to get hit. But it's an absolute pleasure to be here and speak with a bunch of networking folks. I'll tell you about my networking background, but I'm a finance guy, I'm a business guy, but I've grown up and lived in the network field in this industry over 30 years with different products as evolved. Prior to founding Albix, and that story we can tell in a few minutes, but I was over 25 years in the specifically data center internet infrastructure business, all in Atlanta. And I logged over 22 years in Atlanta in Alpharetta and was there right after the Olympics, watched the fiber being built, was at a telco, then multiple companies. And my wife's from Auburn, or I met my wife at Auburn. I played baseball there. That's the Yankee accent you hear even all these years I've been down here. Atlanta has its own accent, but I moved from Atlanta to Auburn in 2018 and was commuting back to the Atlanta airport in Coral Gables, Florida, with the third largest data center property at the time in the world, 6 Tera Technologies. And it was a wonderful opportunity to live in a rural town, a smaller tier 3, maybe tier 4 town, call it what you will. But to be back in Alabama but still be wound like us in this industry was awesome. And that was what I did prior to starting Albix, and I launched Albix in 2020.
So you're in what you know I lovingly call Deepwood, Alabama. And you understand more than most when I say that. I say that with pride, because I'm a product of Deepwood, Alabama. But you're in Deepwood, Alabama, down in Lee County. Why in the heck would you even think about building a mission-critical, world-class data center in that part of the world?
Well, this is where the fun part comes. And by the way, the last speaker, awesome. I mean, that's big brain stuff. Level 9, for goodness, I stopped at level 7 in my training. I didn't even know there was a level 9. No, kidding aside, when you're in, I'm in Auburn, but I'm running capital markets, corporate development, M&A and strategy at a $2.3 billion global data center company in Miami, right? In that process, I saw an RFP. Some of you would know this, a request for proposal for what is now the Georgia Tech Coda Data Center. Pretty cool project, like Atlanta needs another data center. Okay? This data center was on a postage stamp of land right behind the Barnes & Noble bookstore on 5th and West Beach Street, wedged right in there behind a probably early 1900s building. They went 7 floors down and actually hit the spring on Spring Street and put parking garages, but they built, the point is they built a 6-megawatt data center, 3 floors at 2 megawatts. Cool part was, it's tech. Georgia Tech, they put a 10-story building next to it with an air bridge to the data center. The RFP was issued by the Board of Regents of the state of Georgia, which which covers all academic institutions that get state funding. They said, we're going to put out an RFP, build it. It was built. Went through a change of hand, a developer built it, DataBank bought it, now it's ATL Midtown 1 by DataBank. What funded this project was the backstop of the state of Georgia, but the customer was a 1 megawatt Georgia Tech taking down the first floor for all their IT and their development lab, all the cool stuff happening over at the ATDC, the Georgia Tech Research Institute, TTRI. Okay? All these things I was involved with and funded since 2004 at InterNAP. Many of you here, the old dogs, remember InterNAP. InterNAP Network Services. Yeah, I was there 2004 through 2009. That's why my world stops at LightShot. The point is, that data center now is an example of how Georgia Tech continues to accelerate and throttle other academic institutions in research. Not to mention, they're sitting in the hub of the internet of all of the Southeast, which is Atlanta. The most geopolitically hot spot that's the target of every geopolitical IT terrorist, whatever you want to call them, are going to take a shot at Atlanta. Well, I'm sitting in lowly Auburn, Alabama, and I turned down that option to bid that project. So I'm sitting on a 90-page memorandum with pricing, everything. 2019, I left Sixterra. So now I found myself in a corporate downsizing because private equity split our company. Now I'm living in Auburn, Alabama, and y'all appreciate this. In Alabama, there's brown squirrels and gray squirrels. When a nut falls from a tree, man, everybody's jumping on it. They're developers, the real estate people, at least in Auburn, developers, real estate people, and builders. They're not real sharp on IT, but we're purple squirrels. You guys probably heard that. Again, the older folks have heard what a purple squirrel is. Someone that provides disproportionate value in a situation in a team environment. That's IT squared. That is absolutely IT. When we get it right, but we're a pin cushion all the other times. So long story short, a friend said, well, now that you're out of this global hoity-toity in Miami, are we going to build a data center here? I said, you got to be freaking kidding me. There's no way we're building a data center here. Because, well, why not? And I gave him a bunch of reasons. He goes, you don't know how to build it. And he starts egging on a former athlete. I'm a nerd, trust me. And I said, we're going to build this. Here we go. I tried to shut him up. He read it and said, what are we calling the company? I said, oh, damn, here we go. And we raised $40 million, and we built this thing called Obix. Obix was easy. And the ATL is the ATL. What's Auburn? A lot of things. Colors were easy. AUB, IX, for those in the room, and IX is an internet exchange, a term our industry used to be a edge data center to a core. And guess what? Now in 5 years from forming Obix and then going to the national markets and bringing in Core Scientific to come in with GPUs and NVIDIA equipment, we're fully leased by an Austin, Texas company that's going to throttle Obix to 30 megawatts and break ground probably in February and bring OpenAI to Auburn, Alabama for the first national neural AI node landing in Alabama. Sitting on 9 networks, all 100 gig, and our friends from Alabama Fiber Network, where's Wesley? Those guys are the sharpest, fastest, lowest latency network in the state. And they don't get the dues yet, but they're coming hard at the industry. They're at 400 gig, and we're an anchor institution broadcasting out of Auburn, getting in 67 counties. So I'm long-winded, but no. We build a data center to a class that it should be in downtown Atlanta, mimicking the Georgia Tech Coda Data Center. And now it's an asset for the community of Alabama, which is the whole state. It is not an Auburn University data center to go back and cover what we had to cover in 2022 when we opened.
So let's go there, because I'm notorious for talking, picking. And put in a little anonymity, because you have to do that to protect yourself. What personally was driving you as you launched Obix, and we're going to get to ACE here in a moment because it's very similar. What were you working towards in your team in terms of parity, rural metro, parity across ethnicity, parity across social economics, right? What were you trying to do there in terms of offering opportunity? And what has been two of your greater sets of challenges to get people to wrap their minds around this?
If you're in Atlanta, and I was working downtown Atlanta at 250 William Street, blocks away from 56 Marietta, back when I was at Internet, I was in corporate development, I turned down bidding on Telex twice. You all know in the room, Telex was at 56 Marietta. Gentlemen, I'm 6 foot, I could pound the ceiling in that building. That's how poor of a building it was for IT infrastructure, okay? But that building dictated all the fiber in the East Coast. In Atlanta, it is deafening with IT technology. They don't even hear the rest of the state, much less Alabama, which is 20 years behind them. And if you're in Atlanta or you're in Georgia altogether, plumbing flows west. In other words, when you flush the toilet, it runs to Alabama, then to Mississippi. It's an arrogant position to be in. But from IT and data centers, it's now the largest, fastest growing data center market in the US is Atlanta, because of the overflow from Washington, D.C. All right, so I'm in Auburn, Alabama, and the point he's wanting me to make, and I agree, is if you're gonna build something in Alabama, you better have digital parity to rural markets. How do we bring that, whatever we wanna think is a genius of IT in a tier one market, how do we bring it to Alabama, right? And Ben, what did you say earlier? Latency, say it real loud, what was it? Your comment about latency?
Oh, latency is money.
Latency is money. We all know latency. When you know that in Auburn, at my data center, and it's true at probably Montgomery at RSA, and I know it's true with certain networks, you're under 6 milliseconds round trip to Atlanta. 6. That's pretty hot. And when you get 9 networks sitting in Albix, under 6 millisecond, Bitcoin mining companies transitioning into NVIDIA called Core Scientific, CoreWeave, finds you quickly, okay? But the whole purpose of Audix was digital parity to rural markets. There's no reason why people in Alabama shouldn't have as good or better IT infrastructure as being in Metro Atlanta. And that was the hardcore mission that I was on in Auburn, at Audix. Albix sits between the two state capitals of the federal supply chain, also supporting the Port of Alabama. And there's no asset that looks like Albix south of Auburn, Alabama. You have to go this way to Tallahassee if I'm looking south, or this way to Mobile. There's not another asset that's 5 nines mission critical in a purpose-built building with concrete roofs, 14-inch thick walls, can take a 160-mile-an-hour direct hit. It ought to be in Austin, Texas, Santa Clara, or downtown Atlanta. That's as arrogant as I can say. That's what we built at Auburn, at Albix, but we built it as small as we could with the tightest financial, judicial distribution of capital, knowing we could put 30 megawatts behind it in a two-story building, and knowing there's a 100 megawatt footprint right behind us if you were so blessed to get the power from Alabama Power. And it was digital parity in rural markets. And we exercised that explicitly.
So let's talk about the AI component, which really kind of gets into some of our history. When I met you, you told me that there was this guy in Montgomery who kept hitting you up about Onyx, and you had no idea who he was. But more importantly, the day we met, we were discussing this company called NVIDIA. And we were finishing one another's sentences because it was a problem that you had been thinking about for a long time. But share with folk ACE and make sure you include what showed up on the dot. Yeah. The day that you and I met.
So there's a lot of, I'm not gonna call them secrets, but it's an easier story. We launched Albix in March 28th of 2022. We had a big white tent outside. The governor was there. Mike Rogers was there. The then current president of Auburn, President Googe. Taco Bell missed it. He literally elbowed me later and said, wasn't on my calendar. Thanks, Tony. I failed to mention, when I was commuting back to Coral Gables with Sixtera. Sixtera had in the market, in Dallas, Texas, NVIDIA DGX A100 farm being built. They were early on AI. Sixtera Technologies, now Center Square, because they merged with another company. We were a national NVIDIA partner at Sixtera. Not until you step out, build all this, everybody leaves, now you say, my God, I got that big, cold, empty shell, and I got to find customers. I went back to my sales guys at Sixtera and said, how the hell do I get customers? Most people in this town think I'm a call center, not a data center. And there was a wall of worry. And a buddy out in Balboa Island, California, said, I'll call my buddies at NVIDIA. I said, you're kidding me. He goes, nah, they'll ship you two boxes. I said, then what do I do? He goes, you install them, and you network them, and you teach the community. I'll set it up. 3 days later, I'm on a call, and I raise my hand. I said, I'll be your huckleberry. How do I become an NVIDIA certified data center? They said, well, tell me who you are. I'm like, I'm the biggest, smallest data center you've seen, and I gave my pitch. They said, we'll send the paperwork over. We were certified almost immediately. They sent me two DGX A100s. At the time, in 2022, they were 21 models. It was not even a year old Ford F-150. It was sharp. Right, the utility of Ford F-150. You know how fast NVIDIA's grown now? They're probably older models. But they're still 10 petaflops of compute across two boxes networked. Well, heck, I couldn't have them at Ovix. I couldn't make money on them at Ovix because they were donated. I'm going to form a nonprofit. So I went out and I formed the Alabama AI Center of Excellence, or affectionately, ACE. AAICE.net. I also went out because I met this guy. This guy was Cyber I-85, I-85 Cyber, zero footprint, but he picked, and he all of a sudden went, who is this cat from Montgomery that's messing with me? Show your face, have a conversation, come on. And we ended up being introduced, and yes, we finished each other's sentences, and we were brothers, you know, brothers from a different mother kind of thing. And he's taught me more about business in Alabama, which I really thank him for. But NVIDIA came from a relationship from the national markets. So what did we do with it? By the time Penn State came to Auburn that fall in 2022 and romped them up and down the field, we had NVIDIA already incorporated on its way to becoming a 501c3, and we were planning, and we had four large trainings. We trained over 300 faculty, postdoctorate, doctorate, graduate, and undergraduate students from Tuskegee, Southern Union. I'll keep going, but a bunch of colleges. So we started doing the Deep Learning Institute level one, level two training, and just introducing this thing called AI. But one more thing I gotta throw out there, because it's all the truth. ChatGPT came out when? Sometime in October, or late October of 22. We were doing all this with NVIDIA, no one could spell it, talking about AI before ChatGPT woke everybody up and everybody started playing with it. So it's been a godsend, it's been a work in progress, and we just keep pushing hard to let people know you're not at a disparity being in Alabama, whether you're in Montgomery, Birmingham, Huntsville, now Auburn, because the latency and the network availability is coming. And God bless it really came in the last 2-3 years of all the announcements.
So let's then transition to ACE, its implication on the networks, and then let's then talk about this new concept you guys are launching, ACE Labs.
So one of the first things we did at Ovix, when you're a data center, a commercial data center, again, your mindset's here in Palo Alto or Santa Clara. Doesn't matter that you know you're trying to wrap herd cats in Alabama to get to your customers. We immediately went out and got our ASN number, and we got a C block of IP addresses, and formed the Ovix.net network. So when you're in a national data center company, a tier one market, you sell house network. You go get a Cogent, you go get two or three networks, blended bandwidth, you sell it to your customer in a bundled bill. It's real simple. They want one bill, keep it at a price they can afford, because just like the chairs here, they're buying cabinets. The most mundane, simple, retail product of a data center is a cabinet. GPUs are a whole other animal.
Okay, and fiber cross connects.
And, thank you very much, you beat me to it. Fiber cross connects, Equinix taught us that model in 2004 and made a min on it, and thank God they've, you know, never missed their numbers. Because our industry would be crap if they missed their numbers. That's the truth. So we formed ACE as a network. We were forward thinking that it's a separate business owned and operated by a board of directors, delivered by Albanks, delivered by the Edward Via College of Osteopathic Medicine, the CIO of Tuskegee, the CIO of Opelika, Alabama, and now the COO of McCrary Institute. These are all board members. It's all on the website, ace.net. And this cat is a board member also. And we together just say, how are we going to keep implementing technology and making it available for people to play with and use? But we formed the network, because when you're Albex and you're a network in a data center, everything you see, it's everything I see, I'm a carpenter, everything's a nail, okay? So ACE had to have a footprint in the meet me room and interconnect to all the other networks. That was a fundamental strategy, okay? And it's living today.
So what about ACE Labs, this new concept that you get ready to launch?
So ACE Labs, you know, ACE is ACE, we already defined it. ACE sits on the floor of the data center in two cabinets that I discounted the price, and I got my friends over at Auburn University, College of Osteopathic Medicine, VCOM, to give me a modest price point. So we are the founders. It, the data center, runs the 10 petaflops of compute. And I would throw parties at Auburn, invite anybody over to our lab and our lobby about the size of this room, maybe a little smaller, and then Core Scientific came in last September and leased my whole facility, and I became a landlord. I said, oh damn, boy, we don't have a place to throw a party. So behind Obix, in the old industrial park where they make wire in Auburn, there's a building, and I got the landlord to give me 12 of his 45 offices, and we gutted the middle of the building, and sometime probably November 1st, we're opening ACE Labs. What is that? We're finally independent. It's not as pretty as this. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not. We're going to get there. But I went to Wesley and the team over at AFM. Actually, I went to Alabama Power. It's one of the Alabama Power guys. Or is he walking away? Went to Alabama Power. I said, I need dark fiber back to this building. They said, get it from Alabama Fiber Network. Alabama Fiber Network understood our strategy, joined ACE as a member. We'll get into memberships in a minute. And then they provided me dark fiber, a 24 count fiber. We're going to start with a pair. Oh, there's Charles. All right. And now we have dark fiber sitting on 40 gig Arista, a pair of Arista switches, talking to a pair of 100 gig Arista switches, sitting in the meeting room, interconnected to a 10 gig pipe at AFN, a 10 gig pipe at Well, 2 gig pipe at AT&T, and a 100 gig connection to Montgomery Internet Exchange, where I can pair with Hurricane Electric.
So then talk about the geographic distribution of the lab concept, and maybe mention a college that might be in the room today.
Yeah. So first, the whole concept of ACE is to basically show the state of Alabama, one, you have assets and data is important. Everybody in this room, especially the older folk, know about data sovereignty, right? If you're in Europe, German data stays in data, is computed in Germany, stored in Germany, is not computed in Belgium, France, or Poland. So data sovereignty was a point that we needed to have the ability to run and manage data in the state of Alabama rather than pushing it to Georgia, North, you know, DC or Texas. Members and colleges, we probably have 35 and growing private members of ACE. We have over 20 academic members of ACE. And our friends was our Talladega crew. Raise your hand. All right, the Talladega crew. All right, showing up in numbers. They're the most recent member of ACE. And what does that mean? We're sitting down with them and finding out who they are, what their interests are, setting up the most mundane, simple trainings of a blinking cursor. It doesn't have to be a blinking Python cursor. It can be the business school people, the marketing people. How valuable is AI and how do I use it so I don't come out of college behind? So we're going from computer science, computer engineering, computer science, all the way to the marketing and showing them, yes, NVIDIA free training, but it's the why behind the yes to take the trainings, get your scout badges, right? Start learning it. And when you're ready, start playing in boom rooms, right? Free boom rooms of logging into the ACE infrastructure where you can build things, build it, break it without your credit card having $8,000, $10,000, or $12,000 worth of time on it from any of the GPU service providers. And yes, before Boyd asks me, we have about six paying customers, and one of them I'm very proud to tell you is Tuskegee. Tuskegee is our longest standing partner. There's over 45 people in Tuskegee trained, all research, from doctorates leading the research with NSF and NIH grants, all the way down to undergraduates beginning to learn support and managing Docker containers and, you know, really mundane stuff, but they're doing it on infrastructure that is secured and sitting in Auburn, Alabama. It's not sitting somewhere in Silicon Valley.
Well, since you took the conversation here, talk about what that means for a Tuskegee University or a small university when it comes to going after research opportunities where they don't have to pay place second fiddle to an R1 institution.
Oh yeah, all right. So everybody knows there's a few colleges that are the R1s, right? The Shine School on the Hill, where I live, in Auburn, you know, the folks over in Tuscaloosa. You know, South Alabama is a very active, big member of ACE, throttling some of the boxes at different times from Mobile, thus the network component. But for Tuskegee having to rely to being a support or a sub to an Auburn or an Alabama or a Georgia Tech no longer has to be the case. Sitting in position one on the research grant, they can say, I have IT infrastructure available to me, because they have a cabinet at Audix on the floor with network connectivity there. They're a cross connect away from 10 petaflops of compute. They can manage and fill out and bid research as the primary researcher. That's huge. So that $10 million grant, which $5 million goes right to the administration, and $5 million goes to the researcher, usually as a sub, you get $250,000, and then Tuskegee sits alongside Auburn University. We just created parity for Tuskegee to bid research and pay a discounted rate because our infrastructure is going to be priced a heck of a lot better than even the B players in the GPU market, and they're sitting on net to the infrastructure, and the data lives in Alabama. I mean, I just mentioned four or five firsts that this room would understand. And as we scale this infrastructure, yesterday we just got about $700,000 in tax credit funding from Innovate Alabama, and we're off to the races with ACE Labs. ACE Labs opens November 1st.
So let's pause here for questions. Any questions from the audience for Andrew?
I'm going to give you one. You're here. You're in my backyard this time.
Got it.
What can you tell the software people in here? What are the benefits of ACE for people writing code here at the Innovation Depot? How can they use your resources?
Yeah, so the Innovation Depot looks like any other Alabama resource that's sitting on, I don't know your networks here, but I'm sure any network here is already peered at Audix. So I'm sitting on the 100 gig other side of the network feeding this place. Any of the developers here that are looking at taking their algorithmic models and their data set, and they're concerned about uploading and managing them on a, you know, on a Soluna, Sicerce, you know, go ahead and choose your GPU second tier provider. You can reach out to ACE, we have storage, servers, and you can load it there, play with it there. We're gonna give you a set of kind of free time, if you will, and then let you develop, crawl, walk, run into an application. So to answer your question, Autonoma Labs in Auburn, now they're going by Autonoma, is a software that does anything from a drone to a car, and they're about to get Series A money. A private company that is out of incubation in Auburn, they've been throttling one of our DGXs for the last 6 months, and I said, I'm okay with you doing that at no cost, but you're gonna write one hell of a white paper for us when you get your Series A money and then there's going to be a kickback equal to something per month that you've been on it. And they said, I like the way you work. I said, you'll pay after you're successful this time. You want to stay on it, we're going to set a flat rate and a variable rate, but I'll still be at 30, 40 cents on the dollar to the other GPU service providers. And I was taught by Boyd, you better build a community by at least giving something back first, and then only ask for something back after you've been successful. So it's an open conversation. We'd love to support anybody here at Innovation Depot. I said this at the Winchester Institute of Real Estate in Auburn a week ago. This is not about the Iron Bowl of data centers. Okay? It is not about one school versus another. It's not about, you know, a data center in Montgomery, the RSA versus Albix, or it is not. You all know better than anybody, the internet only works when the data flows across the DNS and across the internet openly. That, this community of Alabama has to get their head around. And when that opens up and the networks start being throttled, we create value and throttle it back and feed Atlanta, rather than sitting here waiting for Atlanta to feed us. So that's my passion.
So
hopefully I answered your question. Come on, just come on, have a conversation.
So before we get to another question from the audience, you mentioned the Winchester group and that conference. So there was a question asked of Eddie earlier today, and I purposely didn't want to jump in, but a young lady from Talladega asked, how is AI affecting real estate? And at that conference, 2 days, you sat there, and what was the number one thing? You had developers from all over the country, real estate people from all over the country. What was the number one theme in the room for those 2 days?
It's clearly data centers and data center development, right? You know, anybody in a real estate or a REIT, real estate investment trust is the category financially, but a REIT could be multifamily homes. Look at all the awesome buildings around here that are being built for as apartment buildings, right? Apartment buildings, multifamily homes, industry, heavy industry, all the industry that, you know, Alabama.com or the Secretary of Commerce are recruiting here are all different industries. Everybody thinks, I can get the data centers. I've got land. I've got power. How do I get to a data center? And it's really not that easy to just say I can build a big concrete box, which, by the way, this is about as much a concrete box as you can get into old infrastructure. But very interested in deploying capital into a data center.
And along with that, every developer that spoke, they talked about how AI is transforming their industry. One of the areas I found most interesting was design, where this guy did his company, they designed out healthcare facilities. And he talked about from design to deployment, how that time frame has just shrank because he can replicate things. And it was like, what did he call it? Almost on-demand deployment. I mean, he broke that thing down and they did their first deployment of a healthcare facility, but it's building healthcare facilities in pods.
Yeah, modular design.
Modular design, and the reason they could do that is because of the data analysis where they go in, it's kind of like you go to Walmart. Walmart really is just a big warehouse. That's why when you ask one of the salespeople, well, they have handhelds now. You ask a salesperson, when are you going to restock? They have no idea because the vendor is the one restocking in the warehouse. Well, that concept is now coming to real estate to where the general contractor is allowing AI to manage when the electrical contractors are doing their work, right? When will the plumbing people do their work? It was just a fascinating, I was just hanging out with some people, hint, but it was just fascinating to see the data analysis that's going into real estate, how it's transforming the industry.
So let's stay focused on the network, right? Data center is a big cold box and irrelevant if the networks aren't attached to it. And the quality of the networks, the latency of the networks, the interconnection in the data center is paramount, okay? We just saw an announcement, another $700 million is going into Meta in Hope Hall, south of Montgomery. That's wonderful. Okay, you should all say, that's great. We all know the industry, and I'll be forthright, and I can annotate this, so I think it's public information. There's a network provider building a private network for them going from Hope Hall to the northern part of the state. That's not going to be done for probably 3 years. In the meantime, they're running on dark fiber from a utility provider, the utility provider in our state, that has dark fiber on every transmission and most every transmission and distribution pole in our state. Amazing. Very few people know that Auburn Aubix has over 1,500 fibers of that utility in our facility. We're an anchor institution. Interconnecting that fiber, dark fiber, to the WOWs of the world, my friend, right? To the AFNs of the world, to all the commercial networks, including the DoD networks, AT&T, and Lumen. We are rich with assets in the state. We are rich with power in the state that's now being measured and managed and distributed by our utility partners. But there is a long list of real data center companies ready to come into the state with customer demand to deploy. Let me go back up. We are in a bubble, an absolute bubble of AI. And I'll give you some metrics real quick. To build out a data center, my data center at Aubix, I figured 10 to 11 million per megawatt is what I needed to fully outfit a retail data center. If I'm 4 megawatts of customer demand, but 3 megawatts of utility power, I needed $30 to $36 million of capital. I raised 40, and I built out judiciously as I knew who my customer was. The equipment that goes in a data center might be 3 to 5 to 8 million per megawatt in a CPU model, meaning hyperscale cloud, Amazon, Google, Microsoft. Okay, fast forward to 22, fast forward to now. OpenAI just said they're deploying $50 billion in a gigawatt site. That was their Financial Times arrogant, chest pounding, we're the leader. All right, let's break it down. That's $50 million per megawatt, where they said 2/3 was going to be equipment. Okay, simple numbers, $33 million per megawatt of NVIDIA equipment. $16 million, round up, round down, $16.5 million was now their cost to deploy a data center to support landing that equipment. Remember, I told you it was 10 to 12. That's the impact of the density of power and the density of compute per square foot. I'm going to come to you, hang on. So when you think about that, you're not at, my data center was built at 175 watts a square foot. They're talking 600 now. They're talking 1,000. How the heck do you cool that? Not with air, with liquid. The whole design of the white box called the data center has been completely turned off its head. Vertiv, Schneider are the leaders, and they are throttling. There's no more data center. There's no more chairs. Take all the chairs or cabinets out of the room. There's not even a cabinet equivalent, because every pod that drops is an engineered pod, and you're gonna love this as network people. The network is the biggest problem with GPU right now. They can't get the chips stacked on top of each other, and the networks, Mellanox, anybody? Mellanox, right? They can't get the networks to have a chip-to-chip latency speed fast enough to get to this phantom quantum compute model they're chasing. The amount of trunking and fiber capacity between buildings in a campus is mind-boggling. Trunks, 24-inch water pipeline trunks are going between buildings because the chips almost have to be lined up fiber to fiber. And that's before you get to the networks that get you to the internet. So it is a whole other game, this GPU, HPC, high performance compute, data center. Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to point out that your traditional retail data center was targeting 2 to 5 kilowatts per rack, and the AI stuff, it's insane. They're pushing 250 to 500 kilowatts per rack.
Correct. So, ready? More math, right? Aubix had 2 10,000 square foot data centers, north and south. I built out the north. The south was a warm shell, wait for a wholesale customer to take the whole thing. I did it by cabinets. I had 26 cabinet pods, three in a row, 78, times five, 390 cabinets for 2 megawatts. Boy, that's close, isn't it? 400 cabinets at an average of 5 kW is 2 megawatts.
94 racks.
A 30-amp 208 circuit is 4.99 delivered on an 80% breaker. There's your math in the data center. Monetize it. I had customers that sold 2 kW, 3, 5, 10, and you manage on a unit that way. But yes, it's a 3 to 5 average retail CPU Dell server model. And then all of a sudden, the DGX A100 slides in the bottom. It looks like a banker box, about 10U, 8 to 10 rack U, and 30 inches deep. That was 6.5 kilowatts per box. And they wanted three of them in a rack. Air cooled, anything more than that had to be liquid cooled. Now the whole form factor of NVIDIA equipment is all plugs for liquid cooling right to the chip. All in the last 2 years. So the level of expertise and execution playing this sport called IT or infrastructure and data centers at that level, it's crazy. But data centers will live in every iteration. They're not going to go out of style. They're not going to stop because data is going to constantly live in this continuum of refresh.
And make sure we have the word opportunity. We have time for one more question. Oh, I see two. We're going to cover these two questions and then we'll move.
So sort of switching gears a little bit. So when I think about data centers, right, they're growing everywhere. Talent, though. But so you have to have talent in these data centers. So I'm wondering, I look at it like a sort of like an SD-WAN thing, right? You got your basic underlay and you got your overlay. You know, I think basically they need to know the networking of and how networks work, right? But what is that overlay that talent needs to be looking at, and what are you looking for when it comes to data center and everything? Because there are levels of data centers and different things.
Absolutely.
What does that look like?
So I'll talk networking.
Yeah.
Eddie hit upon it earlier, and I thought he was going to go there, but he was being nice. My number one problem as a network operator, bringing on talent, is finding so few talent members who have the patience to sit there up in a chair and read. See, where it gets frustrating for me, he's told us everything you ever want to know is in an RFC. Now you come ask me a question, and I send you to the RFC, or I send you to a book. And then you come ask me a second question, which was in the paragraph below the one that I asked you to read the first time. And it's so bad, we have an acronym. When we first talked to you, we asked you to go read the field manual. You come back to me three times and the information was there. Now one of those letters might change. All because our educational system no longer teaches people to have patience to sit there up in a chair. And I don't think anyone ever self-learns. I think you can be more self-actuated. Go get it. And that's what I love about this career field. Unlike other career fields, people say that's the book knowledge, this is the real knowledge. In this field, the way it's written, doggone it, it better work that way. Because if not, now we got some problems, right? And so that's a huge challenge, self-actuated learning, because an institution can never teach this at the rate at which it changes. You've got to be one that goes and get it. So we've got to handle that problem.
ACE, real quick, ACE does two things. Digital workforce development and upskilling. And no, we do not compete with academia. I live in Auburn. Can you imagine the attitude I got from Auburn University? Well, we do that. They don't. The community colleges teach a wide array of basic electronics, networking, splicing, etc. ACE is the place where they can come and actually do it, play with it, and connect multiple labs. We aspire to have network to Talladega, no surprise, okay? Talladega students will be there when the networks install it and have to learn it, because that's what we did at Albex. I had 9 employees at Albex when I founded the company. I could only afford 2 full-time employees from the industry, okay? My facilities manager, I pulled out of the RSA, it was Jeff Gardner. Now he's running the Southern Company infrastructure. That's a whole other conversation. Okay? But my 9 students all had the attitude and aptitude to learn. And they were not all EE CE, CIS, MIS, they were all over the place. But when they came in, they started in security, they walked rounds, they learned every single thing. I have daughters. I have four women in the company. My daughter, if you looked at the hood, she could tell me where the carburetor, well, should be, because they're digital now, right? Fuel injectors. The point is, all these students knew the basic infrastructure. And then when we did a cross-connect, and WOW would come in and do splicing, Alabama Power splice for 5 weeks, 1,500 fibers. They were all in there asking questions and talking. They were learning, iteratively learning. Then you layer on two levels of NVIDIA. Guess who got the jobs from Core Scientific? I paid $15 an hour. Came in at 9, went to 12, went to 15. I said, sorry, I'm done. Core Scientific came in and said, $26 an hour, you're going to be a tech. Will Kaiser is a junior in Auburn University. He's making $26 an hour, 28 hours a week. Hot dog. That is where we're going to have to accelerate ACE. We're going to have to partner with other EDOs and grants, work with different people, new networks, and train them up. I know for a fact that all those students will end up getting jobs at other companies. ACE Labs is going to be an incubator. Some guys are going to come in and teach entrepreneurial training, and we're going to have a bunch of young companies in there. All of them will have the opportunity to learn the network, because I have dark fiber, optical networking, back to the mothership, up to 40 gigs of upstream internet connectivity. 40 gigs. You don't think that's a teaching platform? That's the fun part. And then expand ACE, put ACE, put switches in different local communities, get network from Wesley, so my order's already in Wesley, but get network, or leverage their network, because they touch every one of the 67 counties. All I gotta do is say, show me your current map. We wanna go there. He says, cool, all right. You got a 100 gig connection to me in the Alex meeting room, because my cabinet of ACE is sitting right next to AFL. It's a fiber cross connect, and I'm on their network. And they're peering our IPs for anybody that cares.
Question?
That's a platinum trap.
And since you were first here today, we're gonna make sure we honor your question as well. Yes, sir.
Thank you. There's an effort here currently to have a data center. And I don't want to be too down on the project, it's very exciting, but they seem to be having some struggles with the community engagement on that project. I was wondering if you could talk briefly about what that looked like in Auburn.
Okay, so a data center doesn't bring jobs. We don't want it. A data center is going to take, you want what? How many megawatts? I only wanted, initially, 3 megawatts, knowing I was going to go to about 35. When I showed Core Scientific 100 megawatts on the 110 line next to me, back to the Tallahassee Dam, that conversation went over the way it went over with Alabama Power, and now they're in their own private negotiation. Data centers bring jobs. If you're a mall and you go to Brookwood Mall, I'm 29 years married to this town, Brookwood Mall turned over 2 or 3 times. A mall is only as good as its anchor tenants and then all the small customers in between. It's the customers that bring the job, not the mall. The mall is the digital utility that brings the digital infrastructure, that brings the digital content that runs on the digital equipment, that creates this innovation depot, spawning companies to go into Class A office space and throttle Jeff Up Hughes data center down in Old McMillan Steel. That is an ecosystem. When you start with the plumbing, that should be the fourth thing the Chamber of Commerce talks about. 3 things Chamber of Commerce talks about: education, clean water, and roads. Digital infrastructure. That will attract more people to your community. Brag about it. Build it. Because the big brains like you and the others in this building are thriving for a digital footprint and digital presence. So, and the last argument is, if anybody cares, a house draws 8 to 12 kW at its peak. You're stealing power from rooftops. We can't grow another 3,000 houses times 12 because you just sucked the power out of the room. No, the data center just reinforced a fragile rural network of power by being an anchor tenant and a known dividend contribution to the utility company for them to now create a reinforced power grid for 2 more generations of that community. AKA Auburn, Alabama.
If it lasts. If it lasts for 25 years.
Data centers today, and there are data centers all over Tier 1 markets 20 years old.
I mean, the very large data centers that are pulling in nearly a gigawatt power, it takes, right. You know, it takes the utility a lot of money up front to install the infrastructure.
Absolutely.
And if that data center, like a big Facebook or
yep.
Google, if they decide, oh, 5 years, we're done with this place, you just screwed over utility companies.
So the best thing about that is utility companies are learning very quickly from Dominion Power in Northern Virginia to write 20-year contracts and how much the data center and the industry pays without affecting the consumer. I support what you say. I'm a big fan. I'm not a slumlord, and I'm not a fake speculator in the state of Alabama trying to tie up power. But the state of Alabama is full of speculators and people tying up power. If you deploy what you say you're going to deploy and willfully enter into that contract with the utility, it's wonderful. Most gigawatt data centers are being built right now in unregulated states like Texas, where there's what? A lot of natural gas. And a lot of oil that they can tap right off of that and do it in extremely remote areas in a very flat environment with low latency networks. But yes, your concern is true. Let's see how it plays out.
Last question, Ms. Tate.
Okay, you talked about working with the outages, but what does it look like for like small businesses in community
wellness, like the mentorship that you've been working with that? So if we were not at Alabama, we wouldn't be talking about the network side, we'd be talking about the startup side. One of the components that ACE has is teaching entrepreneurs the most cutting edge startup science on the planet. A lot of that science revolves around the lean startup methodology where you make launching a company a data science problem, which is its tie to ACE. Our instructors are seriously fluent. I'll just speak to myself. I'm 24 years full-time entrepreneur. For the last 18, we've been practitioners of that methodology. It's the thing that works. For me, it saved my bacon, because I'm a far left brain. And that loosey-goosey do it because it feels good, that just, it's kind of like a reporter asked me once, he said, when you teach this science, you teach people not to launch a company on the wing of a prayer. I told him I believe in praying, but I want to have a set of data I'm praying over that I can understand, right? So that's the challenge. And so we, with ACE, we bring that in. Because for me, Andrew loves the data centers, all that great stuff. I'm a far left brain. I'm a grain-headed Unix guy. But I'm about companies, launching businesses and folk choosing to stay in Talladega. To know that's an option, right?
And they should be an ecosystem of ideas to support launching a business more efficiently. You know, I'm getting off on the infrastructure. That, you know,
no, that's what we're here. That's what we're here.
You know, but it really should be a place where people that do not care about the IT say, if I were to do this, what is my better way to do it today? And how do I do it? And how do I leverage AI as an example to help build my website? Real estate people are scared to death. A buddy of mine's a partner at Accenture and just said, my stocks now, we're getting crushed and we're laying off analysts because AI is getting so good. I'm like, well, you're deploying private AI models for the Fortune 10 and Fortune 20 global companies and you don't think they're going to use it? Yeah, your rates are going down. And your bodies, because you're a body shop, are going down. Well, those bodies, the young talent here, do not leave Talladega without an understanding of how to use, implement, and teach the white-haired or bald person in this room sitting around you, ladies, not addressed to you, but teach us how to change our businesses and be our consultant to do our businesses better. Lead the current industry with the efficiency that you grew up in. The iPhone is on number 16. Ma'am, how old are you? Yep, 20. She was 4 years old. She was introduced to, probably, you were born with an iPod or an iPad, right? Technology has been such that they don't know the difference, and they've grown up with Oculuses. There are people in this room that have never worn an Oculus, okay? It's natural to them. they need to adopt it and teach people that run businesses how to be more efficient.
And I guess the final point there will be for the young students, if you really want to get into a groovy trip, start working on understanding how it works. Because as much as we readily utilize it, we have no idea why the math in the back part of your Algebra 2 book, why this stuff works. We know it works. We're using the heck out of it. But we have no idea why running massive tensors or matrices through a process over a group of data, why does it probabilistically keep coming out right most of the time? So if you really want to get into it, that's that field of study that, I know what, they may come recruit you like they do NFL players. Right, Mr. Zuckerberg? Yeah, I'll pay them contracts that NFL players have never seen. Just something to think about.
But I'll end it, won't say another word, I'll turn this thing off. The talent in Alabama is as smart as the talent in Boston, or New Jersey, or Texas, or Northern California. There are young talent in this room right now that just see math and they get it. And if they're not exposed to this digital parity concept, they're gonna find something else to do, good or bad. And that is the God's honest truth. And if you don't believe that, why the heck is FBI coming out of Northern Virginia and setting up Quantico South in Huntsville? They understand the talent is here. Now, there's different geopolitical reasons why they did it. That's not my business. I'm a businessman, not a politician. But the talent here needs to be exposed at an early age and know the networks are here, that's us. The infrastructure's here and coming. And how do they use it? Because the parity is real, and our latencies tell us we should be sitting pari passu, equal in stature and standing, to Atlanta with ideas, network, and throughput. I'm done.
Let's give me a